Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
The scripture readings are quite appropriate for where we are right now in the liturgical year. We are in the last weekend of ordinary time. Next week we celebrate the feast of Christ the King. After that we begin Advent. And so this is a time in which we are ending our liturgical year. And when we listen to the gospel for this weekend, we hear of another ending. In this case, the ending of the world. The words that Jesus is speaking to his apostles are very disturbing and implies that maybe Jesus is prophesying the end of the world. Yet, before we can begin to interpret the gospel message for us this weekend, we have to understand the context in which it is set in. Jesus now has led his apostles to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is the capital city of Israel. It's the largest city in all of the whole country of Israel. Remember, the apostles are from Galilee. It's a rural territory. There aren't many large buildings around them. Furthermore, the apostles, many of them, have been to Jerusalem maybe once or twice in their entire life. So this is an awesome experience for the apostles. And so Jesus leads them into the city, and they're walking throughout the streets of Jerusalem. They are awestruck at the buildings, the large crowds, the marketplaces. Jesus then leads them to the greatest place, to the Temple of Jerusalem. Now, this is the greatest of all the buildings in the city of Jerusalem. It's bedecked by jewels, statues. The apostles are now standing before this beautiful edifice, standing in awe. And now Jesus comes to them and says, "Do you see this? This will all be destroyed, and you will witness it." As he says in the gospel, "I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place." Well, Jesus is telling the apostles, this temple, this beautiful building that was built to worship God, will be destroyed in your lifetime. Now, this is very disturbing language. Great analogy would be for us if we were to go to Washington, D.C. and stand before the Capitol building or the monuments. Better yet, we were going to Rome and stand before St. Peter's Basilica, this great and beautiful church. And now Jesus, as we are standing before these beautiful edifices, tells us that this will all be destroyed, and we will witness it in our own lifetime. Now this is deeply disturbing for us, even frightening. More to it, Jesus says to the apostles, "In those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will be falling from the sky, and the powers in heaven will be shaken." Well, now Jesus is talking about the end of the world. Now we can only imagine what's going through the apostles' minds. Now this is very distressing, very disturbing for them. Jesus is not only telling them that they will witness the destruction of the greatest building in all of Israel, the temple itself, but they will be witnesses to the destruction of the world. Now, if we heard this from Jesus Christ, we would be deeply troubled and greatly afraid. And so we cannot help but imagine what the apostles thought of. Now, when we hear that phrase, the end of the world, this is a phrase that has been very popular with people throughout the centuries. For hundreds and hundreds of years, people have been fascinated with the end of the world. Some refer to it as the apocalypse. Now, you can't help but go into any bookstore around, and you'll see shelves and shelves of books about the end of the world. Just a few years ago, there was that popular series of books called Left Behind. It dealt with the end of the world. And this series sold millions and millions of copies of books. There's a movie coming out right now entitled 2012, which essentially is a movie about the end of the world. So many people are fascinated with this event as to what will happen. When will the end of the world take place? And how will it come about? And so what are we to make of these readings? How are we to understand this message that Jesus Christ is giving us? Well, if we take this gospel reading as a literal description of the universal as well as the cosmological events that definitively will occur, then we are going to be standing on some very, very thin ice. How can this be? Well, listen to what Jesus says to the apostles. Amen, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. All these things have taken place, which means what? These things will take place precisely within the generation of the apostles, within their lifetime. Therefore, Jesus' prophecy about the destruction of the temple as well as the world should have taken place during the lifetime of the apostles. And yet, what's the implication? If we are to take this gospel and the language literally, then it looks like Jesus is wrong. Jesus prophesied this 2,000 years ago, and yet our world is still intact. The sun still came up this morning. Therefore, we must be very, very careful about not taking this language literally. If we do take this gospel literally, then it undermines Jesus' credibility. So what does this all mean? How are we to interpret this powerful gospel message? Well, first and foremost, we must look at the style or the genre of the language that Jesus is using. Jesus is using what scripture scholars would call as apocalyptic language. Apocalypse. It comes from the Greek root word apokalopsis, which means unveiling. Now translate that to Latin, apokalopsis, and is relevation, relevation, which means to reveal. Jesus is using apocalyptic language, which is language that is going to reveal or unveil something totally spectacular, something that this world has never seen before. Apocalypse has nothing to do with the end of the world. Now, with that knowledge, go back into the gospel and reread it again. The sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from the sky. Now, this is cryptic language. The stars, the moon, the sun were all used by the people in the ancient world as a means to navigate. The people in the ancient world did not have GPS, charts, or maps. And so they looked out into the sky, whether it was the stars or the moon or the sun, and they used those forces of the world to navigate by. They steered their lives using these powers of the world. More to it, their lives were governed and influenced by these powers of the world. And yet, what were those powers? Greed, envy, hatred, violence, jealousy, sin, and death. And now you can begin to understand why Jesus is using this apocalyptic language to help us understand the message that the people before Christ came into this world, their lives were ordered and governed by these powers or principles of the world. And yet now, Jesus is going to unveil or reveal something that is going to change these powers forever. Something powerful and new, something the world has never seen before, Jesus Christ will unveil reveal. And you see, that's the apocalypse that Jesus Christ is talking about. And it will happen during the time of the apostles' life. That's why Jesus says this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. And so it begs the question, what is the apocalypse? What is this great unveiling or revealing that Jesus will give to the world? Well, it's his very death and resurrection. These events, Jesus' death and resurrection, will have earth-shattering consequences for the entire world as well as the universe. When Jesus dies and rises to new life within 3 days, he will take the universe and turn it upside down. The effects of Jesus' death and resurrection will be far-reaching, to the effect that the world will never be the same again. All the powers and the principles that once governed the lives of the people in this world will be shattered and destroyed. Even the greatest power of them all, death. Death will be now conquered by Jesus' death and resurrection. And so you say, how can this be? Well, look at how Jesus was killed. He was killed by the religious and the political establishment of his time. And they represented the powers that governed and ordered the people's lives in this world. And yet, those powers were deeply flawed. Why? Well, first, they could not recognize the Son of God in their midst. And second, they put Jesus Christ to death. And yet, in the apocalypse, in the great unveiling by Jesus Christ, through his death and resurrection, he conquers all the powers and the principles of this world, even the greatest power of this world, death itself. Jesus' apocalypse, his unveiling of his death and resurrection, now changes everything in this world forever. Now, people's lives are no longer governed by hatred, sin, death, greed, envy, jealousy, and violence. Now, our lives are governed. Our lives are ordered to Jesus Christ. Now, we navigate, not by the sun, the moon, or the stars, or the powers of this world. Now, we navigate according to the light of Christ in our life. That's why this apocalyptic language should not frighten us. Instead, this apocalyptic language is good news. It's the language of life and hope. Through the apocalypse, through this great unveiling of Jesus' death and resurrection, now we have life. We have the life of eternal life with Jesus Christ forever. And the hope that if we participate in the life of Christ here on this earth, then we will also participate in his death and resurrection. That's why when we ever hear that word apocalypse, we should not be afraid. On the contrary, we should have great joy and rejoice, because that word apocalypse, that unveiling, means that Jesus Christ has done something for this world that has changed it for the better and forever, and in our lives too. Jesus Christ now has given us something to live and hope for, something that we must truly rejoice in. And my friends, that truly is the good news for us this weekend and throughout our entire life. And may the peace and the grace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.